We just want to welcome everybody tuning in live stream. We just want to encourage you to ring the bell, share, comment. What else am I missing?
Like.
Yes, like, love, whatever you'd like to do. But we welcome you and thank you for tuning in. I am not Pastor Jay. I'm not Pastor Debbie. My name is Ann Armstrong. And I will have a word for you tonight, and you'll be blessed and encouraged. So pastors will be back Sunday. So thank you all. And I would just like everybody here to just stand up for a moment, because it just seems like we need to be more cheerful. We need to be more cheerful about being at church. About being at church. Let me hear it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen, this is better than the sweepstakes guy showing up at your house saying, I got $1 million for you, because that'll burn. That'll burn. That'll be gone. You're going to get, you're getting eternal life imparted into you.
Yes, amen.
Show you how to make your own million. So, so glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Father. Father, we thank you and praise you, Father. Father, we thank you tonight. It is our joy. It is our delight to come into the house of God. Oh, Father, there's no place that we'd rather be. We come hungry. We come ready. We come wanting to lean in, because you've got help for us. You've got answers. You've got direction. You have your presence, Father. We thank you for it. We honor you this evening. It's not about a man. It's about your plan and what you've done and what you've done in this place and what you have for us tonight. So we thank you, Father, that your name is lifted up and glorified, that utterance is given, that you make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, Father, writing on the hearts of those before us and watching in live stream. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, go ahead and have a seat. You're stealing my time. Glory to God. I am just, you know, it is a joy and a delight to have pastors who love us this much, that they have been willing and obedient and diligent and labored. And so that we could have a place where we could grow up. Amen. You know, so that we could get our thinking straight. Yeah. And I need mine straight. I mean, I need to straighten mine just like I need to straighten my hair every day. So that is an everyday process. So I have something for you tonight, and I'm not sure. I started out this afternoon with just a few notes, and I got 12 pages, but I'm not going to get through all of them. But it's a big font. It's a big font. So I'm just glad to be here. It is my joy and my honor to stand before you and minister the word of God to you. You know, I've been raised up under Pastor Jay and Pastor Tim Horton to begin with. So it's going on 25 years, and then Pastor Jay and Pastor Debbie. And it is the greatest honor of my life. I heard Dr. Dufresne say that, and I'll never forget it. The greatest honor of your life is to serve another man. A man of God. And I'm here to say that is true. Amen. And you know, I mean, that's just serving the body of Christ. That's serving the kingdom of God. But where has God placed you? Where has God placed you? And where he's placed you when you're faithful and you come with that right heart, like Carlos was talking about, being cheerful, being excited. I know it's Wednesday night. I know you've worked all day. I know you're tired. I know the weather's nice outside. You know, you could have stayed home and went for a walk, but no, you came. Glory to God. So I'm going to start in one place and end up in another. This is how the Lord has led me today. So let's go to Romans 8, verse 1. I want to start with this because I think it's important. We have to learn how to deal with these things. And let me get my Bible open. And the right translation. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. Have you all been? Have you been watching? Who's been watching the Miracle Crusade meetings? Literally, we go from glory to glory, faith to faith, and it's just been. I just have no words. It's just been glorious, glorious. So, and you know, when we take the time to tune in and receive from those messages, when pastors come back, listen, we're not left behind, or we're not, what? We're keeping pace. We're keeping pace. And I know that sometimes, you know, you have other responsibilities and you can't watch them all or make it work into your schedule. And I think there's one, well, tonight, praise the Lord, but we'll be able to watch it when we get home. So, but let's talk about Romans 8, verse 1. So now, wrong translation. So now, right now, right now. Therefore, now there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It says in the Amplified, therefore, there is now no condemnation, no judging, guilty of wrong. For those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk, not perfect. Listen, it doesn't say, I don't see perfect in there. That you know, obeyed all the commandments. It says, for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. And verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has freed me from the law of sin and death. So I'm here to tell you tonight that you're free.
Yes.
You are free from condemnation.
Yes.
And it's just a huge stumbling block for us believers, because we use this measuring stick. And from our minds of maybe where we've missed it, where we've slipped up, what our past and what we did, and, you know, situations in our life that bring guilt. You messed up. Oh, and then you messed up. And it's not, he can get into an everyday flow of it. That's not what the word says. The word says that I'm free. There is no condemnation. And it's not because of me. It's not because I've arrived. It's because of what Jesus did. He paid the price. And so why is that so important? Because condemnation keeps me out of what God has for me. And we have to learn to be skilled at recognizing it and shutting it down. Shutting it down. Oh, you messed up again. Are you kidding me? You got to go see Miss Teresa, you know, or pastor. You messed up again. What's in your heart? God doesn't look at our works. He looks at our heart. Now, we need to do what we're supposed to do. But it says here, to walk means to live out of your spirit. See, how do we not live out of our flesh? How do we not, like Carlos was saying, what was the word?
Ornery.
How does he not be ornery? When he's ornery, he's living out of his flesh. Hey, we all have our own little thing that we yield to. But you have to learn to live out of your spirit. When you were born again, you were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. We were made partakers of the life of God. And so we have to learn how to live in this kingdom. We have to learn how to live out of our spirit. It says, giving thanks unto, I'm in Colossians 1:12. I'm just going to go through. I got a lot of scriptures. Just write them down. When you were born again, you were translated, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or qualified us to be partakers. Jesus qualified me that I can be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light, who who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, your mess ups. Even when you did it on purpose, there isn't anything that the blood can't cover. If you turn from it, if you say, I messed up, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the blood. I repent of that, and I turn from my ways. Why do you need a pastor? To teach you how to turn from your ways, because you'll fall back into living in the flesh. We have a flesh nature, and we will have that while we're here on the earth. But we have a spirit that's been recreated in Christ Jesus. And as we learn to live out of that, our life starts to take on a different look. And then people, maybe in our family, they start looking at us different. You know, my family all knows, you know, who I am and what I stand for. And, you know, they had to work through it, you know. But now they love me. You know, they still love. Oh, it's still Anne. She just thinks a little different, you know. And actually, some of them, there's a softening. There's a softening. Because I love them. I honor them. I respect them because I've been taught. I'm living out of my spirit to bring the life of God. And then people, they're drawn to that. Okay, I got to stay on course. So the word redemption means deliverance, liberation, procured by the payment of a ransom. Jesus ransomed us. He paid the price with his precious blood. So now we're going to go to Romans 5:1. And I want to go to that one. Praise the Lord. How can you not be excited? How can you not rejoice? It says, therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God. Oh my gosh, I have peace. Yes. I have peace with God. Mm-hmm. Yep. I was not raised that way. I was raised in a denomination that magnified your mistakes. Being the middle of six children, I had it coming and go. I had it this way and I had it that way. And seriously, and so then that condemnation piles up. But it says here that I have been justified by faith and I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Oh my goodness. Okay, I got to read this. Hang on. What's grace? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Through this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Grace, I got a whole long list, but number one, joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness, grace of speech, goodwill, loving kindness, favor of merciful kindness by which God, exerting his holy influence upon souls, turns them to Christ, keeps, strengthens, increases them in Christian faith, in knowledge, in affection, and kindles them to the exercise of the grace virtues, which is due to graceful spiritual condition of one governed by the power of divine grace, the token or proof of grace. And you know, to simplify that, grace is God's ability. God's ability in me. Yes. Have you ever come up to something and faced something and it's like, oh, I have no ability. But Father, show me, help me. I think we've experienced that a lot recently with planting a church in Kansas City. Pastor Jay and Pastor Debbie have been such examples. And even us in our departments, okay, how are we going to do this? You know, we have to make adjustments and changes and going down. And I was with pastors in that going and looking at all those buildings. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I saw up close, you know, it's like, oh, this is good. This is good. This is good. But following the Spirit, that life of the Spirit, following the Spirit, not the dictates of the flesh. There was probably a couple places they would have loved to have had. Mm-hmm. But they followed the Spirit, the leading of the Holy Ghost. And so, you know, and then what I want you to see, though, is condemnation is of the devil. Yeah. Yeah. And it's the greatest enemy to the believer, one of the greatest enemies to the believer. It opens the door to fear, doubt, worry, anger, hurt feelings. And I think if we all examined ourselves, we'd find areas that we deal with it. And so, but I got some good news. So Pastor Debbie's book, you know, we started a new chapter in the healing class, and this was one of my, I can't say it's my favorite chapter because I say that every time I start in one, just like my favorite verse, but chapter 10, this is the good news I have for you. The peace, joy, and praise connection. The peace, joy, and praise connection. You can pull it up and look at it at home, but I've been, you know, studying it for the class, and I just got, when Pastor asked me to minister, it was like, oh, I just want to talk about peace, joy, and praise. But tonight, I really want to focus on joy. Amen. And it was so funny that he brought that up, joyous, a joyous giver. But the flow of faith is joy. Yes. You could say it's peace, but we're going to talk about joy tonight. The flow of faith is joy. How do you know when someone's in faith? They have an attitude. They have this, yeah. You know, like Pastor can, he can do all the motions of it, you know, and puts his chest out, walks around with a strut. He's got, because he knows something. He knows something. He knows something. You know, people sometimes they first come to Christ and they're kind of like, oh, I don't know about. I remember the first time I went into a charismatic prayer meeting and I was like, what is this? You know, because it was in the church basement because it was like this secret, you know, and it was just, but my head didn't understand it, but my spirit was drawn to it. And I didn't even know what that meant back then. But looking back, it was like, oh, I like this. I always loved God. I always wanted to know God. But my mind wasn't renewed according to the word. And so there was this, these people were full of joy. They were happy. They were talking. They were singing. They were playing guitars. Tambourines, no less. That was many years ago. But you have to recognize that joy is a mighty force. It is a weapon. It is one of the weapons of our warfare. Just like Carlos was saying, it's love, because we're going to go there, Galatians 5:22. Love, joy. And then what's after that?
Peace.
Yeah, peace. So we start there, and then we go down, or we go up, actually. Because without love and joy, you're not going to be able to develop the rest of the fruits of the Spirit. So one way that we express our faith is through what? Joy. Do we want extraordinary miracles? Do we want to see God move in ways that we haven't? It said the latter would be greater than the former. You know, I always remember Dr. Dufresne saying if Jesus returned now, he'd get to heaven and go, God, where was the pop? You said the latter would be greater, the greatest harvest of the earth, the greatest moves of the Spirit, the accumulation of all the fullness of the gifts of the Spirit and the fivefold ministry offices all flowing together. Are you looking for that? Are you expecting that? Are you hungry for that? Do we want to see that? We're seeing glimpses. That's what gets me excited, is that there's glimpses of it. There's glimpses of it. Are we expecting the miraculous? Or are we living status quo?
Right, come on.
I challenge you. But the thing, it goes back to, we've got to get past condemnation.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Because then our faith has an attitude to it, a surge to it.
Yes.
We decide how it's going to be.
Yes.
And just like with what we're going through doors. Pastors talked a lot about going through doors. We're going through doors as a church. But you know what? We're increasing. We're expanding. What are we expanding? The kingdom of God. Man. Anyway, so If we want extraordinary miracles, we need to have extraordinary joy, extraordinary love. We need to be grow and develop. We need to be hungry for it. We need to desire it. But this is what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. I'm going to go through these because I'm going somewhere. I just want to remind you, as it says here, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. I'm a new creation.
Yes.
The past is gone.
Yes.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I have been made. You have been made. I didn't do this. He did it for me. I just answered the invitation to hear. When the salvation message was taught and preached at 21 years old, I heard it for the first time with clarity and I understood it. So I responded. I wanted that all my life, but I didn't really know what it was. And so then I responded and there was just such a joy. But the thing was, is he did it. I've been made righteous. I am right standing right now before God. And so is everybody in here. Everybody in here. And if you're not, you just, Father, forgive me for talking to my spouse, you know, whatever. See, it's so easy. He made it so easy. He did it all. He did the hard part so that we could have the easy part. What is our part? Say, yes, Father, I believe. I believe. Remember when the disciples came to Jesus and said, what is it that we must do to do these great works? Believe. Believe. Believe on the one whom he sent. Believe on Jesus. And so we've been made righteous. So I'm just clearing some things up here. We're in right standing with God. Everybody in right standing with God? So Ephesians 1:3 says, we're going to go there. And you know, as I was, you know, getting ready, I tell you, I am so in awe at how much God talks about this in the Word, because I could go on and on and on about this, how good he is and how much he desires for us to walk free from condemnation, because that is like a weight. That's a hindrance. And it keeps us in bondage. But it says, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And the religious people all want to say, okay, that just means spiritual blessings, not natural, not material. Well, it says in the Gnarly translation, Pastor Nancy, we got that from her. She brought that out every time she reads this. Who has blessed us with everything that heaven itself enjoys.
Amen. Yes.
Heaven is a real place. Heaven has buildings. Heaven has everything that we have, but in a much greater dimension. But what are some of the things that heaven enjoys that we need? Joy. Peace, love. And it says all. I love that. With all means all. And that is spiritual and material. He did not leave us here to leave us broke, desolate, starving. He gives us all things richly, all to enjoy. This is heaven's flow. When it says here, who has blessed us with everything that heaven itself enjoys, this is our flow. Because we are not of this kingdom. We are not, this is not our homeland. We're from heaven. We have a job to do here. We have a race to run. We have an assignment in this local church given by the direction of God through our pastors. And so it's important that we do run our race together with what? Joy. Worry cheats us out of heaven's flow. Fear, anger, resentment, offense cheats us out of heaven's flow. We have to learn how to live out of our spirit. Living out of our spirit is the flow of heaven. I've been blessed with everything that I need Do you believe that? Okay, so let's move on. We live by what we choose. I think somebody said that yesterday or last night, Pastor Nancy might have, but we live by, we choose blessings or we choose curse. I say this all the time in the healing class, Deuteronomy 30:19. You can probably all tell me that this day I set before you. I want to go there because there's more to it. This day I set before you what? Life and death. And now, what does he say? Now choose life. It's by far better. He says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, because it's better, far better, that both you and your seed may live, that you may be blessed, you may have an abundance, you may prosper, you may reproduce, you may enjoy prosperity, health, freedom from sin. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is your life and the length of your days. That thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. But that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is my life and the length of my days. So, you know, just because something shows up that, you know, tests and trials, what is the word? You know, it's just like, oh, what does the word say? He always, always causes us to triumph. We have an enemy who's arrayed against us, but we can't be moved by that. You know, people go through things and they get all worked up. And I've been there. I've done it. But then once things settle down, I go, oh, wait a minute. But as we become skilled, it doesn't even move us. Watch our pastors and the decisions that they're having to face and make and go through. It's at a whole nother level than what we might be facing, a whole nother level. But you know what? We have an example to follow after. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that wonderful? I need an example of someone who has gone through doors that I have not gone through, that now I can learn and glean from them so I can have a better life, so I can have more influence on the earth. You know, like the daycare, we have children, people, this team of workers in the daycare, they're a team. They're a team full of faith. And you know, anybody that's spent any time in here during the week, it's work. It's work. It's natural work. But there's a heart to see these kids' lives, seed of the word planted into their hearts. I always get thrilled when they have these events and different ones, you know, they lead them to the Lord. That's eternal. We pray for these children. We only have them for a short time. They come to us, some of them not such good backgrounds. But that seed of the word, when they heard that, when they prayed that prayer, they heard the gospel preached and they prayed that prayer. God does not forget that. He does not forget that. It will not return void, and that's what we always say. It will rise up and it will produce, because every child that comes through these doors, through the daycare, God sends us. So we ask for them. So Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how we get to where we're at. That's how we go from being under condemnation and struggling and in worry, fear, whatever it might be, is through the renewing of the mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. We all can recite this scripture, and we can all say, yeah, yeah, yeah. But this is something that we have to do every day. And that doesn't mean you have to spend hours a day in the Word. It just means wake up in the morning, turn your heart towards God. Have a prayer life. Talk to Him. You know, there's so many things that we could go into as far as building your personal relationship with God, right. Having those times with Him. Oh my gosh, that's my favorite thing ever to do. I love my husband, but I have to have that relationship with God. Yes. That I can just, you know, it's just me and Him. Do you ever have that? Yes. I know sometimes you got lots of kids. I had a friend of mine, she had 6 kids. And wonderful lady, she really spoke into my life when, you know, years ago when I was young. And she would get up like at 4 in the morning and she'd go in the bathroom when everybody was sleeping. And that was her prayer room. And I thought, that is, you know, that marked me. Yeah. That she, because once the day started, you know, because everybody's going every direction, household is busy, that she took that time to be with the Lord. And today, she's actually a pastor down in Tulsa. And and her whole family is flourishing. All 6 of her kids are serving God. Teachers in the school and the Christian school there. And you know, I'm so grateful that I had that time with her. That she spoke into my life. And, you know, I helped her and she helped me because she was just she was hungry for the word. She was hungry for to impart, but she was also hungry for fellowship. If we're not hungry to fellowship with other believers, we need to check up. You know, we want to go in fellowship with, you know, I don't know. Yeah, coworker because they like basketball or, you know, nothing wrong with that. But what really satisfies your heart? What really, we're going to get into this. What stirs you? Yes. You know, when Pastor gets up here and Pastor Jay and Pastor Debbie and they minister a message, do you walk out of here going, oh my goodness. And then you got to go back and you've got to go over your notes. I mean, I was going over the notes from Sunday and it was like, I didn't hear that. I didn't hear, you know, because I go back and listen. It's like, you know, and I'm one that I like to write everything down because I want it clear. I want to understand it. And I want it to be exact like He said it so I get it right. I don't want to misinterpret the word that's been fed to me, but then I let the word talk to me. See, pastor serves us the word. What we do with it is up to us. And how fast do we want to grow? But there should be a hunger and a desire and a stirring. And I know I'm talking to the choir, but we have to stir ourselves continually because otherwise we're just going to get fleshy. So we're not conformed to this world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. But then it says in verse 3, for I say through the grace, again, there we go, grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. We all start at the same place. You come into the kingdom and it's like, you know, it's like your first day of school and you go in and they give you your notebooks and your books and they load you up and everybody gets the same. Your lunch ticket, you know. You get everything that you need to start off the school year. Well, when we get saved and we come into this new kingdom, we get everything we need. Yep. Now, it's up to us to say, God, where's my pastor? Where's my local church? Because I need to understand more of this. I need to understand this new life. That's the name of the book that we give to new believers. It's called This New Life. And but this grace, for I say through this grace given to me, grace is given to help us lay down sin, our own desires, and to yield to God's desires by our measure of faith. So that means there's a measure. We get the same measure, but then what happens? What happens after you get that measure? It can go dormant. So many people get born again. You know, at these great big crusades, they're wonderful. But what happens when they go back and they don't have a church? That's why this last day move of God is so important, that we plant churches that carry the right message. They're not religious. They're not seeker friendly. It's the truth of the word. Because the latter rain is going to be greater. Well, where are they going to go? How are they going to grow? How are they going to develop? And, you know, I know that, you know, the body of Christ at large is kind of in a compromised place, bought into, you know, seeker friendly, I'm going to do it my way sort of thing. And then it's like, Pastor, he really had it, but now he's lost it. That has to change, but we get to be a part of that. Isn't that exciting? We're on the edge of something that is just so great. And it's about people, because that's God's heart. God's heart is about changing people's lives, receiving them into the kingdom. And, you know, I was praying one time about the harvest, and this gets me every time, because I was praying about the harvest. I wasn't thinking about my own family. But then the Lord spoke to me, and he said, your family is in the harvest. Mm-hmm. And I thought, Father, we need laborers. Mm-hmm. You know, because we all want things for our own family.
Yes.
But I remember those words specifically. Your family is in the harvest. And it was so reassuring. It was so loving. But he was also saying, thank you for praying. Thank you for taking the time to pray, because that's his heart and that's what he desires. Because then we can go. Then we can jump. Let's go. But so God's plan for us as believers are days of heaven on earth.
Yes.
And that in itself will attract people. I remember during COVID, you know, I would act like everything was just fine and smiling. Oh my gosh, there was such a spirit of fear on people.
Yeah.
And people look at me funny. Like, what's wrong with her? Anybody that worked in the public, I know you all got your testimonies. They look at you funny. Like, what? Does she not know? Hi, how are you today? Yeah, but you know what? My heart went out to them. Because, see, they don't know. They don't know what I know. Praise the Lord. So, let's move along here. No matter what shows up, it can't take from you what is already yours. If you hold fast. If you hold fast. We've been redeemed from sin. We've been redeemed from sickness and disease. We've been redeemed from poverty and lack. But you know what? Sometimes we got to hold the line. We got to hold fast and not let go. Lay hold and hold fast. All the while, what are we doing? We're standing. We're standing on the word. We're standing shoulder to shoulder in orderly array, in one accord, with one voice, in unity. So, there are flows of heaven that have yet to be manifested. You might have, you know, we were at the Miracle Crusade in Paducah, and you need to go. It's just atmospheres where things can churn on a dime. Now, we can receive when we watch live stream, you know, because we can't all go, but there are flows of heaven that have not yet been manifested. That's what we're at. That's what we're going for. That's what it's like. I'm not talking about just people running around and rolling on the floor and laughing. That's all good. That's part of it. That's a manifestation. But seeing people come in, seeing people healed, seeing people come and get saved, seeing the lost get healed and then get saved and then go out and preach the gospel. Seeing those great moves of God. We have not seen it yet, but we're going. This is an example, church. We need to be examples of heaven's flow, and it is the flow of faith. I know this is all simple. I'm just here to remind you. God did not bless us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ to leave us struggling. But you know, we got to have an attitude. We've got to have a spirit of faith about us. We've got to say no to the things of the devil. And I know, like Carlos said, sometimes he wakes up and he feels ornery. I am here to testify to that. I'm so glad you finally admitted it. No, I'm teasing. Hey, we tease each other. It's like, oh, okay. But God did not bless us to leave us. He's got a plan. He wants to transform us into these mighty men and women of God so we can take the land. Condemnation is of the devil. It holds you out of the arena of faith. Meditate on who you are in him. That's what I'll say about this. We have Pastor J's CD. Someday maybe it'll be a book. In Christ Realities. We have Pastor Nancy's in him. It's online. We have Kenneth Hagin's in him. We need to every day be meditating on who we are in Christ. I don't know. Am I the only one that needs to do this? I don't think so. Because then I can boldly go to the throne of grace and obtain help. I can go and say, Dad, I need help with this. You go home and you open the refrigerator door and you help yourself to whatever in there, because you don't. There's no condemnation that your mom's going to say, get out of there. Well, I might at home. Don't take my steak. But we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Condemnation has to go. Your old self-image will rob you of God's best. And it's not God robbing you. See, we think, oh, why isn't he doing, and why, you know, and I gave him the offering, and now it's just gotten worse.
Come on.
Did you give cheerfully? It's a cheerful heart.
Yes.
But, you know, it's not the slot machine. It's done by faith. It's done with joy. So Ephesians 4:24, put on the new man, which after God created in righteousness and true holiness. I am created in righteousness and holiness. You are created in righteousness and holiness. I have the new man. I have the new nature in me. Okay, so how do I get that new nature to show up on the outside? Colossians 3:10. And now put on the new man, which is renewed in what? Knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on the new man, which is renewed, the renewing of the mind, in the knowledge of God. The new knowledge has the image of God in it. That's why I'm saying we have it available to us in him realities. E.W. Kenyon, it's called Two Kinds of Righteousness. I love that little book. And then there's another one too. This new knowledge is how God sees you. This new knowledge is the reality of really who you are and what belongs to you. And then 1 Corinthians 2:14. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. See, when you start renewing your mind to these things, and then you go through the day and you're facing something, wait a minute, I got the mind of Christ. Holy Spirit, show me. Holy Spirit, you're my helper. You're inside. You're leading. You're guiding. But if you get slack in those things, then you feel ill-equipped and you want to draw back. That's not who we are. We have the mind of Christ in our spirit. The mind of Christ is only in our thought life to the degree that our mind is renewed. Everything for the new man is new every day. Every day I get up and it's a new day with God. I always call it adventures in God. Every day. Heaven offers me its flow every day. Deuteronomy, this day I set before you life, the good life. Every day, the way you choose, it's up to you how you respond. In every conversation, in your work, your job, in your marriage, in your relationships, in serving in helps ministry. See, God gives us freedom to choose. Every day, it is our own container that you fill up. Every day, God gives us a container. What are we filling that up with? Are we filling it up with the fruits of the Spirit, starting with love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering? Jesus said, I am the door. The door is open to the new realm, to heaven's realm, the throne of grace. And then Paul says in Hebrews 10:35, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. You know what? Condemnation is the opposite of confidence. It causes you to wonder. It causes you to doubt. It causes you to look at yourself as less than. Huh. That displeases. You know, somebody said to me, I can't quote it exactly, but it is disrespectful to say that God is not able because one drop of his blood paid it all. It is disrespectful. And that hit me. It is disrespectful to dishonor God by saying that I am not right, that I am not righteous. And it's not being puffed up. It's standing before him, thanking him, praising him. Receive. You received him as your Lord and Savior. Receive the life that he has for you. Yesterday is gone. Today's a new day. What do we do? We have to be skilled at leaving it behind. It says in Hebrews 4, 14 and 15, just write them down. I want you to go back and look at these and just go, you know, like I did today. I just went from one to the next, to the next, to the next, and then it just kept going. Because I kept finding scriptures, because as I read one, the Lord would bring to my remembrance another one. You know, that's all happened to you. And it was just a joy and a delight. See, I got stirred in my innermost being. So it says, seeing that then we have a great high priest that is passed to the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Do you think Jesus felt condemnation? He was made flesh. He had to deal with the flesh. But in all points, tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. That is such a big, we have to prepare to come to prayer. We have to prepare to come to the throne room of God. We have to stir ourselves up and tell it. So we're not coming like this. Oh God, you know, I sinned and I used to do that because that's what I thought was the right way to do it. You know, oh, I thought that was humbling myself. No, my sins have been blotted out by the blood of Jesus. And he doesn't remember them. So why should I? We have to be skilled in righteousness and skilled in peace. The flow of this world has no peace. Dad Hagen kept saying, it's going to keep getting darker and darker in the world, but it's going to get brighter in the church. The world's flow is the flow of darkness. Don't be surprised by it. Don't be shocked. Turn it off. Turn it off. I mean, sometimes you do need to know some things if, you know, dealing with things in your own home, financial decisions, but you got the Holy Spirit. He'll lead and guide you. So Luke 10:19, you are authorized to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. I've been authorized. You know why? Because he made me righteous. He made me righteous. And he has a plan for my life. It's a plan to bless me, to give me a hope and a future, to have an expected end. He has an end to this. When I hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, now it's time to go. And there's rewards for that. It's a joy. It's a delight. I know, you know, we went through camp meeting and we all served with great joy. But we have to keep that momentum going every day. And it's not a work when you're looking at the word. It's not a work. It is a joy. It is the joy of my life. All right. So I said all that because this is what I wanted to get to. Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That's what this is about. Let me turn to it. Galatians 5, verse 1. And I think I want to read that in the Amplified because I love the wording of it. I think it's a different translation, but we'll look. Just a little encouragement tonight. Not that these things we always need. But especially our righteousness and who we are in Him. It says in the Amplified, in this freedom, Christ has made us free and completely liberated us. Do you feel liberated? You may not feel it, but you are. Stand fast then, and do not be hampered and held ensnared and submit again to a yoke of slavery, which you have once put off. So we're not going to do that, are we? No. And you know, it tries to creep in. Catch yourself. That's the life we live. Catch yourself. Stop it. Get in the Word. What does the Word say? You know, when you get so immersed in the Word of God, I love Lillian Bielman's. Okay. She was on her deathbed, and she had done everything, absolutely everything. And doctors, it was the end of the line. And she, I love how she put it. She says, all else had failed, and I picked up my Bible. I dusted it off, and I picked it up. And I immersed myself in it. And she was raised up, healed of God, and then opened a healing room with her sister in California. She was a doctor. And but I love how she put that, because I dusted my Bible off. And then people would always go to her and say, oh, which scripture? Which was the magic one? Which one was, you know, did it? Because, you know, it's like people are funny. And she says, the whole thing. The Word of God is alive and it's active, and she immersed herself and it raised her up off that deathbed. And through that, she gained that spirit of faith, because it's faith that overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes our faith. That's why it is so important that we don't get in condemnation. I need my pipeline of faith flowing full force. And if there's anything less, then I need to clear it out. And the number one way is to check up on how you see yourself, how you see who you are in Christ. Where's your what are you measuring your worthiness by? It's already been done. You've been made worthy. I don't care what you've done. God doesn't care what you've done. Just ask, okay, I messed up, forgive me. And if you have to go to someone and ask them to forgive you, man, I have learned, and I didn't know this, I had to learn it, that asking someone to forgive me is the easiest thing. It's the most liberating thing. It's the most freeing. I'm sorry, I did. I shouldn't have said that to you. I'm sorry, will you forgive me? And it doesn't matter if they forgive me or not. That's called freedom. That is called freedom. Oh, and it's such a wonderful thing. You know, when you taste and see that the Lord is good, when you start putting some of these principles into practice, it's like there's no looking back. Yeah. Because the price of freedom, I'm not going to hold a grudge. I can't. It's too expensive. It'll cost you. So verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. Which Carlos says, we did not talk. I didn't tell him. He didn't tell me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ, are we Christ?
Yes.
Have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. See, we've been recreated. Our spirit is alive and alive to God. We still have to deal with the flesh, but we still have to walk in the Spirit. See, that's where we're going to see the fruit. We're going to see the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the kindness, the goodness. It's in the walking. That's in the transformation of our mind to line up and think right. You know, we always have that saying that, you know, when people come and we welcome them and we love on them, and they say, oh, I'm so excited. And just keep coming. Just keep coming. Because that's their greatest need, is they need to sit under the Word. They need to hear the Word. And I'm so grateful that we can do that and we can help people. But because we already know the Word's your help, the Word's your answer. Just keep coming. So, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against there is no such law. You know, it's like those are in me. Those are in me. Like Carlos was saying, I didn't feel like it was in me. I had to go looking for it. Sometimes we do. But Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Not my strength, but it's you. I am strong in the Lord and the power of His might, His might, His might. I might feel overwhelmed at times in my flesh, but I got to remind myself, it's Him. You know, like, you know, we're going to have a church in Kansas City, and very quickly here, we're going to be having a Sunday service down there and a Sunday service here. It's a lot of transition. We need to be praying for our pastors. Listen, we need an aircraft to take care of the anointing, to protect it, to value it, to guard it. I know you're all on board with it, but it's coming. It's out there. I see it out there, but it needs to come into our hands. And we need a lot of other things too. But when we make that transition and we're going back and forth every week, number one, we need an aircraft. So that they can do what they need to do and not get weary of driving 5 hours there, 5 hours back. No. And you know what? God said we'd have an aircraft. God knows. So we rejoice in that. We do our part in that by calling that be not into our hands and agree. And actually, we had the campaign for that. So praise the Lord and continue to. So this is my scripture for tonight. I said all that to get to this one. This one I just love. In fact, it was so funny because it was said last night. Isaiah 12, verse 3. Joy and peace are mighty weapons of our warfare. And when we add praise to that, the enemy is on the run. Isaiah 12, 3, therefore, okay, now I've said all this now. With joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Oh my goodness, we could talk all night about this. With joy, you shall draw out the fruits of the Spirit. That you need to walk in. With joy, you shall hook up with the Holy Ghost who is within you and pray out mysteries. With joy. Hallelujah. Therefore, joy, you shall draw out water of the wells of salvation. Proverbs 25, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. I will to draw it out with joy, with a stirring, with an excitement, not a begging, not a worried, not a fear, but with joy. Hallelujah. With joy. And you know, the thing is when you need to do that the most is when you're not feeling it. You don't wait until you feel it. That's when you need to do it, is when you're up against the wall. It's a choice. This day I set before you. Worry, fear, or joy. I'm going to choose joy. And I don't always do that, but I get back up. Pastor Debbie's famous words, when you miss it and you get back up, brush yourself. Father, forgive me. We're moving on. With joy. That should be the name of the sermon. You know, think about this. Jesus said in Luke 17, the kingdom of God is within. The kingdom of God is in you. It's in you. Anybody's born again because of what Jesus did. He made me right. He brought me into His kingdom because God loves us. Well, there's other people out there that He wants to bring in. So with joy, we draw it out. With joy, we pray in tongues. All right. In closing, I got 3 minutes. Here we go. So John 14, 16 through 18. And Jesus speaking And he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. This is a whole sermon, but I'm going to put it in this one. The counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, and the standby, that he may remain with you forever.
Yes.
Righteous. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. He dwells within you. Think about that. I think about that all the time. When I go to pray in tongues, it's like, oh my goodness. It's a mystery. But he's there. The spirit of the world, of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take it to its heart, because it does not see him or know him and recognize him, but you know and you recognize him, and he lives with you constantly and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, helpless. I will come back to you. Jesus said this. Man, I just thank you, Father. You're so good. You're so good. Thank you, Father. He will not leave us helpless. He will not leave us forlorn. He loves us. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Therefore, with joy shall I draw out of the wells of salvation. The well is in me. The well is in you. The well is the plan that God has for your life. The well is sometimes you need to just encourage yourself. I liked something that Pastor Romo said, and it was just a short little, you know, you could have just dismissed it, but I caught it. And, you know, some things you like Pastor was talking about, some things are taught, some things are caught. And so I've been doing that since I heard him say, it was the first day, and he says, how do you get in the spirit? You say, Lord, I worship you with my heart.
Yes.
With my heart.
Yes.
With my heart.
Yes.
Just those words. You know, because we can say, Lord, I worship you. Yeah, praise the Lord. It's looking at our clock.
Yes.
You know, just like what, thank you, Jocelyn, for stirring us up. Because when I came out here tonight, everybody, it's like you're sleeping. And so with joy, we draw out what's needed for that time. You know, we talk about the gifts of the Spirit being in operation. What's the best gift? The one that is needed at that time. And so stand up with me. I got to page 6. But the Father has given us the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to lead us, to guide us into all truth. And we need to take advantage of that advantage, but we cannot fully do that like we should if we're under condemnation and we're using our measuring stick to decide, am I worthy? He sent his son to shed his blood, number one, to teach us, to be an example. He is the first of many sons. Because God did not want just one son. He wanted to redeem us. And Jesus was the ransom that was paid. And he did it willingly. He did it with great joy. So now, whoever, anybody, there's no one left out. But they have to receive him. Well, that being said, we have to receive who we are in him now that we're in him. So I would encourage you to meditate on these things. And, you know, I say that because, you know, these days ahead, there's going to be a lot of shift. There's going to be opportunities to lose our joy. I'm just saying, anytime, we're human beings and we like things a certain way and we like habits, you know. And so when things, we have to what, you know, that's one thing, you know, here in the church and helps ministry, we've gotten pretty good at it because it's like, oh, that's changing. Okay. You know, it's like going down the rapids of a river, but we've learned to flow with it. We've learned to, because that's how the Holy Spirit leads us. Rivers of living water. And there's streams and there's ebbs and there might be some rapids that we have to go over. And we might face some things. But, oh, my goodness. All right. Praise the Lord. Let me just give you this last one. Okay. So, If you're not there, I got the answer for you. If you're, oh yeah, but you know, I just don't have it, and I just think I've made such a mess of my life. Well, let's go to Philippians 4, 4 through 10. And I can just read it to you, but write it down in your notes because you need to go over this. Philippians. I was actually, come on. Okay, verse 4. Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. And you know, sometimes you just got to get out there and say, okay, I'm going to rejoice. And you're not feeling a thing. Remember Kenneth Hagin? He'd say, ha, ha, ha. He, he, he. Oh, ho, ho. Oh, I got the laughing. I got the laughing guys here, don't I? See, you know what you do is when this someone starts laughing and you need to stir yourself up, you just get over there and you get right next to them. Yeah, look at you. Come on over here, Ray. Yeah, come on. They might need a little help. They might need a little help. Rejoice. Rejoice. Oh, come on, Casey. Get in there. Okay, I'm not done reading the verse yet. All right, no, I want you to listen though. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, with joy, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, this is what we're closing with. Whatsoever things are true, the word is truth. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Don't think about how bad you are. Don't think about what am I going to do, what am I going to do. Think on the word. Think on who you are. What belongs to you. What Jesus did for you. If there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Epistles. Read the epistles. And the God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace, the God of joy, the God of love, the God of patience. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Hallelujah. And you can begin to express joy when you don't feel like it. It will begin to flow because it's in you. Joy is in you. You got to get the stirrer, get the mixer going and stir it up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, let's just stir ourselves up for a minute. Let me see if there's some people out there that need some stirring. Whatever you got. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you need a little stirring? Woo! Glory, 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 glory. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There you go, Jan. There you go. Hallelujah. 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 Go for it. What do you got?
Joy is mine. Joy is mine. Joy today
is mine. According to the word, I have what I heard. Combine this joy with praise. Just singing that song. We're praising Him. We're rejoicing in Him. Now, you guys all look a lot different than when we started tonight. There's some joy. I see joy on your faces because we stirred it. We stirred it. So I'm just going to tell you right here, Pastor Debbie's book, first page on chapter 10. We should have surface indicators as to whether our faith or our joy within us is working or not. An indicator is an instrument that shows the condition of a machine or the like. Similarly, our the outworking of the Spirit in our lives expressed through joy and peace will display or point to the faith that is actively working the power of God within. So our display, through our expressions of joy, people will be able to tell, are we in faith? So that's why these fruits of the Spirit are so important. So praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Go your merry way. It was an honor to bring the word to you tonight. And pastors will be back Sunday. And let's bring the joy. Yeah. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Thank you all.